Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul said that according to Pharisaical law, he had enough righteousness to get him into heaven. He wrote, "If anyone else thinks he has confidence or confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Having come to faith in Jesus, though, he does not consider any of these worthy of getting him into heaven. What is more, even the good work he had done as a Christian, the work in evangelism and missionary work and building churches, traveling throughout the known world, refuting those who spoke against the gospel, all this, he would write, is of no regard when it comes to getting into heaven. Yet Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi to press on toward the goal, that is, to continue in the word and to share in the sufferings of Jesus. Paul wrote, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Again, Paul wrote that whatever righteousness he had by being a Pharisee, he counted as loss for the sake of Christ. But on top of that, he counted everything as loss. The only thing of worth is knowing Christ Jesus, the Lord. Paul did not claim a righteousness of his own that came from the law, and neither should we. As we well know, it is impossible to attain perfection of the law. And without perfection in it, if we rely on our ability in the law to save us, we will not be saved. We do not have a righteousness of our own according to the law. You are not righteous according to the law. So we are saved in Christ Jesus and trusting in his righteousness rather than our own. End of story, right? Not quite. Paul doesn't leave it there. He doesn't end his letter to those at Philippi on this point. He continues writing to them that by having the righteousness of Christ, by which he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection, he, Paul, would share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, he might attain the resurrection from the dead. In our baptism, yours and mine, we are connected to Christ and his righteousness. At our baptism, we were brought into a life of repentance and salvation, constantly drowning the old Adam and trusting in Christ for all good things. We were brought into this new life, which includes sharing Christ's sufferings. So what does it mean to share in Christ's sufferings? It is to share in the suffering that is required to accomplish tasks of the most fundamental and eternal importance. In other words, like in many children's shows today, in which you have a lead character who tries to do the right thing, that is what we are called to do. We try to do the right thing. But like in those children's programs, they may be made fun of or bullied or whatever for doing the right thing. We also should expect nothing less. When we stand up for what is right, we may be mocked. We may be bullied. We may be beat up. There may be many things that are done to us. This does not mean that we're not doing the right thing, even those characters were doing the right thing. But that doesn't mean there won't be negative consequences. That is what it means to share in the sufferings of Christ. We will be standing up against the tide of sin in the world. Paul continues, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul writes in these verses that he had not yet obtained that perfection. And using the same Greek term, he wrote that Christ had made him his own. So using this play on words, Paul described the baptismal life, recognizing that human beings never obtain perfection in this life, but that they still pursue it because they themselves have been obtained by Christ Jesus at their baptism. So what about repentance? Does Paul mention the baptismal life as one of repentance? Well, he does insofar that he wrote about forgetting what lies behind. He had left behind his life of being a Pharisee and his Pharisaical attempts to earn heaven through his own works. He had left behind sinning against the church as well. So does that mean that Paul no longer sinned? Well, no. Several years after being baptized, Paul would write in his letter to the Romans how he continued to desire to do what was right, but that so often he didn't do the good thing that he wanted to do. He concluded that passage asking who would save him, as he put it, from this body of death. His answer, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul would also write, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Again, Paul does not rely on his own righteousness, either that of a Pharisee or that of being a baptized Christian, to save him. He knew and he wrote and he taught others that it was Jesus alone who had saved him and would save him by Jesus' righteousness alone. Yet until he had been saved from this body of death, this body which continued to sin, he had to repent of his sin, receiving absolution and thanking God through Christ Jesus. That's all that Paul had to write about justification, either in the text from Philippians or the text from Romans. But just as he did not stop on this point in the letter to the Philippians, he also did not stop at that point in his letter to the Romans. After concluding his writings about justification and how it's only by Jesus' righteousness that we would be saved, Paul would write several more chapters to those in Rome, including chapter 12, which is all about living the new baptized life in service to others. He wrote, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The baptized life, then, is one of service to others. It is certainly a life of repentance, the renewal of your mind, but it is also certainly a life of service, which is the will of God. Paul then was writing to his hearers and to us that the baptismal life was one of repentance and service. Paul no longer looked back at his life of being a Pharisee or a sinner, and we should not look back at our lives and desire to go back to sin. Instead, Paul wrote that he was straining forward to what lies ahead, the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here too, one might be tempted to say, oh, that Paul was saying that was his own work, hearing how Paul says that he strained forward and pressed on. The temptation was always there for Paul to consider this work his own, except that he knew the calling he had received was not one of his own, but that God had called him through Christ Jesus. In this way, Paul showed that it is not the work of any human being in getting the upward call, but was totally the work of God in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that he was going to heaven, not based on his own righteousness, either before or after coming to faith, but based on Jesus' righteousness. For that reason, he strove to make that baptismal life his own. Yes, even the life of sharing in Christ's suffering. We, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have received that same upward calling to heaven at our baptism. We have also received Jesus' righteousness so that we need not and dare not lean on our own. Either our righteousness before coming to faith or even our righteousness after coming to faith. But solely trusting in Jesus' righteousness by faith. Because we know by faith we are going to heaven, we, like Paul, live our lives in service to others. We strain forward to what lies ahead, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed for a life of service by hearing God's word and by receiving his sacrament for the strength we need to believe and to live this baptismal life. In Jesus' name, amen.